offering a most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, joining you today is Prem and Sai Prakash from Team Radio Sai. Those of you regular listeners to our program will be aware that we go through Swami's discourses in this program. This is season 2. We've gone through 1990 summer course the last time around. This time we're going through the 1991 summer course series. We're in the second discourse. We'll be completing the second discourse today, hopefully. And as always, every discourse of Swami is a gem which is worth revisiting as many times as we possibly can. This particular discourse is really, really an eye-opener to both of us. Wonderfully structured discourse, beautiful insights all through the discourse. It's really left us wondering how beautiful this discourse is and how we missed it for so long. But better late than never, as they say. But before we go into the discourse, we're going to have two more clips to complete. I invite Sai Prakash to join all of us. Sairam, Sai Prakash.
Sairam, Prem, and Sairam, dear listeners. Yes, this has been a phenomenal discourse, and the sheer variety of topics that Swami has touched on in this discourse is amazing. As we said earlier in our earlier episodes, Swami has literally traced the evolution of human thought, as I would put it, because very beautifully it starts off with the way man observes and learns from nature, but then very quickly it comes on to how man pursued the study of nature in a spirit of inquiry, and how Swami at that point distinguishes the approach the sages took and the approach that the scientists are taking today.
Right, and most of the time, you know, what is important is when you go about solving an equation, solving anything, whether it's in mathematics or physics,
right,
there are some things which they fix as constants. They say that these things don't change, mm-hmm, and these can be points around which the entire solution can be placed.
Right.
And there are also some things which are accepted that these can't be solved. These
Correct.
Can't be known. Let's just
Correct.
Keep them as unknown. Many times it's very interesting to see how we can really come to a solution in spite of not knowing some of those aspects.
Right.
And in the last week's discourse, we came across some things which Swami said about that. Swami said, the mystery of birth and death is never known.
Right.
You can describe that state of death, you can describe that process of birth, but you never know. And Swami said, the sages declared that you cannot decide when a person will die. You cannot declare that how long a person will live. At the same time, you have no idea whether the person will be reborn after that birth.
Right.
And that amount of invariable nature in what they were exploring was kind of understood.
In fact, it's in a way we can say the sages knew where to draw the line, because in the pursuit of exploration, the sages knew this is the extent to which we can analyze and understand and comprehend.
Right.
And beyond such and such a stage, you have to just accept and leave it to God's will. So, on the other hand, as Swami said in this discourse, that scientists, they have this sense of achievement, and they have this sense of pride, if I may say, that they have discovered a lot of new things.
Right.
But on the other hand, we had the sages who approached the same issue with a lot of humility.
When Swami was talking about this uncertainty in life, mm-hmm, and how that actually played on the minds of these sages.
Right.
I think in many ways that was also the cause for the humility.
Yes.
When you're spacing out your understanding, when you're spacing out your exploration, mm-hmm, you know that at any time there could be an abrupt end to it.
Mm.
So there's nothing, there is a sense of awe throughout, even when you didn't know there was awe. Even when you've come to know so much, there is awe. Because in spite of all your exploration, the amount of certainty that you can say, you can say that I will live for this many years is so limited.
Yes.
typical example occurred to me was, let's say there's a cricket match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a 50 overs cricket match. That's a limited match.
Mm.
So a team which goes to bat, or you know, the team which is batting first,
yes,
it will plan its innings.
Right.
So they'll say, okay, till these many overs, we'll play a little silently, and then we'll be aggressive.
Correct.
Or we can afford to lose these many wickets. You can plan.
Yes.
But the same match, let's say it's an overcast condition.
Correct.
You have no idea when the rain is going to come and disrupt.
Right.
And you know, you have this idea called the Duckworth-Lewis system in cricket matches.
Yes.
Depending on what your score is at that point when the match is stopped.
Correct.
Or when the rain comes down. Or how many wickets you've lost. That's what decides, you know, how much you're actually chasing or how much you're going to put forth as a target. That changes the entire gameplay.
Exactly.
You know, there is so much of uncertainty. The way the batsmen approach the situation is completely different. They, you know, they have to be cautious at the same time. They're aggressive also.
Score, right.
I think it's the same thing with life also. You know, when this idea comes that any time there could be an abrupt end to your journey, how will you approach life?
Very true. In fact, you know, just looking at it the other way, the approach of the sages is absolutely scientific.
Right.
Because, you know, in a scientific pursuit, you're open. You know, you're very objective about things, about events, and you have to take into account all the factors. If you look at it that way, the sages had the humility to accept that there are events and there are things that happen in life which are beyond our understanding. And those who do not accept that are not scientific, because they have conveniently left those aspects out of their pursuit of knowledge, if I may say.
Right, and that's why, I mean, Swami gave examples from even the field of medicine.
Yes.
How they approached it was so different.
Right.
Seeing that, you know, there is a certain necessity and need for everything which is in the system.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing is redundant, and there is a certain you know, correlation between the different systems.
Right.
And that changes the way they approach medicine itself. And Swami was talking about Ayurveda and how modern medicine, you try to deal with the symptoms more than dealing with the problem itself.
Correct. And as Swami said, Ayurveda, it is to increase your Ayur, that is to increase your life, that this form of medicine came to.
Right. And then of course Swami spoke a little about how even for mundane degrees, you know, BA and MA, you're ready to struggle so much.
Right.
So how can you not be willing and prepared to really struggle when it is for the highest exploration? And Swami goes on to say, you know, there's the one who desires peace all the time can never achieve anything. You know, that sense of adventurism that I think there is that verse which Swami usually says, you know,
Nashreyo niyamam vina.
I mean, it is self discipline. You know, you put yourself, even if there are no difficulties, you put yourself to difficulties, and you I'm reminded of one of our friends in the ashram. Now, all of a sudden, he just became a vegan.
Okay.
Right? I mean, of course, Swami says that we all should be vegetarians. He became a vegan. He said, you know, it just gives you a certain amount of satisfaction if you can put a restriction on yourself and follow it.
Okay.
And he said, I mean, time, once in a while, it's good to do such things like that. So you feel like, yeah, I'm doing something. You know?
But that once in a while should not become like somebody who says, I've just given up smoking
like
three times.
It's so easy to give up smoking. I've given it up so many times.
That's true.
Right. And of course, again, in that discourse part, Swami spoke about humility, the importance of humility.
Yes.
And how these sages, and you know, the other thing which really struck me was, you know, here is the creator speaking about two sets of people who have explored creation.
Correct.
And he is standing up and saying, the sages have understood my creation better than the scientists.
Exactly. So he is giving them the point.
Right. He is giving them, and you know, the force with which Swami is saying that how much they have understood, and you are calling them as, you know, fools, you are calling them as ignorant, how stupid it is. It's really, it's so heartwarming to see Swami stand up and say that they've understood my creation and better than all you scientists.
Correct.
So shall we go into the first clip of that discourse?
Yes.
Right. So this is the, as we said, it's a long discourse. This is the eighth clip we're playing in that discourse.
దైవం యొక్క అనుగ్రహం ఒక కిరణం మనలో వచ్చినటువంటి ఎంతైనా మనం సాధించవచ్చు. If we can get a ray of Swami's grace, how much can we achieve?
ఈ కిరణంలో ఒక్క అణుమాత్రమైన నాకు ప్రసాదించమని కోరుతూ వచ్చారు ఆనాటి మహర్షి.
ఏన్షియంట్ మహర్షిస్ ప్రే బ్లెసస్ విత్ అట్లీస్ట్ వన్ రే ఆఫ్ గ్రేస్ అండ్ బ్లెసస్.
దైవం యొక్క శక్తిని కించిత్తు మనం సాధిస్తే అనంతమైన దీన్ని కూడా మనం సాధించవచ్చు.
ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ ఎర్న్ గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ టు ఎ లిమిటెడ్
దైవానుగ్రహం లేకపోతే ఏమి సాధించడానికి కూడా ఎవరికి వీలు కాదు.
వితౌట్ గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ Nothing can be achieved by any person who's
ఎగరడానికి ఇష్టం లేకపోతే క్రత్తైన కూడా ఒక ఇంచైనా ముందుకు పోలేదు.
ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ బిగ్ కైట్ ఇట్ కెనాట్ ఫ్లై ఈవెన్ ఎన్ ఇంచ్.
నడచడానికి ప్రయత్నిస్తే చీమైనా కొన్ని మైళ్ళ దూరం నడిచిపోతుంది.
ఇఫ్ ఓన్లీ దేర్ ఇస్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ఈవెన్ ఎన్ యాంట్ కెన్ వాక్ మైల్స్ ఆఫ్ డిస్టెన్స్.
ప్రయత్నం అత్యవసరము.
ఎఫర్ట్ ఈస్ నెసెసరీ.
యత్న ప్రయత్నములు మానవ ధర్మము. జయాపజయములు దైవాధీను.
Making efforts is the duty of man. Success or otherwise is the will of God.
Kanuka nee daivadeenam pai nee vidu anni success e. Success begets success.
If only you earn the grace of God, you get success. Success begets success.
Manam annitini sadhinchalani anugrahanni manam sadhinchali.
If you want to achieve everything, you have to first earn the grace of God.
Vidyarthulara,
we are students.
Mana vice chancellor inadu.
అవర్ వైస్ ఛాన్సలర్
చాలా పెద్ద క్వశ్చన్ వేశాడు.
ఇప్పుడ్ ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ క్వశ్చన్.
మానవుడు ఏ విధమైనటువంటి దివ్యత్వాన్ని ఎంత చేరాలి, ఏ విధంగా అనుభవించాలి, ఏ విధంగా సాధించాలి అని. కానీ ఇది సాధించవలసినటువంటి విషయంలంతా కూడాను పెద్ద ప్రశ్నే. కానీ దీనికి ఆన్సర్ గురించి చెప్పాలనుకుంటే ఒక్క చిటిక మాత్రంలో ఆన్సర్ చెప్పవచ్చు.
హౌ టు అటైన్ డివినిటీ, హౌ టు అచీవ్ సక్సెస్ ఇన్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ డైరెక్షన్. ది క్వశ్చన్ వాజ్ అ లాంగ్ వన్ అండ్ ఎ బిగ్ వన్.
మనం సాధన చేయనక్కర్లేదు.
వీ నీడ్ నాట్ డూ ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ సాధన.
గజేంద్రుడు కొన్ని వేల సంవత్సరాలంతా కూడా ముసలితో పోరాడుతూ వచ్చాడు.
ది ఎలిఫెంట్ కింగ్ ఫాట్ విత్ క్రొకడైల్ ఫర్ థౌజండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇయర్స్.
దేనితో పోరాడుతూ వచ్చాడు? తన భుజబలము చేత, తన యొక్క దేహశక్తి చేత తాను సాధించుకుంటానికి ప్రయత్నం చేశాడు.
హీ వాంటెడ్ టు అచీవ్ సక్సెస్ విత్ హిస్ ఓన్ ఫిజికల్ ప్రావెస్ అండ్ పవర్.
ఈ అహంకారంతో భుజబలము, బుద్దిబలము, ధనబలము, మేధాబలము దీంతో మాత్రం సాధించినంత కాలం కూడా ఏమాత్రం కూడా విజయాన్ని సాధించలేము.
యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ మ్యాన్ రిలైస్ అపాన్ హిస్ ఓన్ ఫిజికల్ పవర్, వెల్త్ ఆర్ మ్యాన్ పవర్,
అలసిపోయాడు.
దిస్ ఎలిఫెంట్ కింగ్ గాట్
ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ తప్పరం వెరుగా మన్నింపందగుని దీనిని రావే ఈశ్వర కావవే వరద సంరక్షించు భద్రాత్మక. ఇంకా నేను ఏమాత్రము చేత కాదు, నీవు తప్ప ఇంకా నాకు అన్యము లేదు అని శరణాగతి అయినప్పుడే సంరక్షింపబడ్డాడు.
ఓ గాడ్, ఐ హావ్ నథింగ్ ఎల్స్ టు హూమ్ ఐ కెన్ రిసార్ట్ టు ఎక్సెప్టింగ్ యూ. హీ సరెండర్డ్ అండ్ గాడ్ రెస్పాండెడ్.
అర్జునుడు కూడాను మహాయుద్ధ సమయం నందు తన యొక్క తెలివితేటలంతా ఉపయోగపెట్టి ఒకటిన్నర చాప్టర్ అనగా మొదటి అధ్యాయము, రెండవ అధ్యాయము, 11వ శ్లోకం వరకు కూడా ప్రశ్నల వర్షం కురిపించుకుంటూ వచ్చాడు అర్జునుడు.
అర్జున్ ఆల్సో రిలయింగ్ అపాన్ హిజ్ ఓన్ ఇంటెలెక్ట్ అండ్ హిజ్ ఓన్ పవర్స్ బిగాన్ పుట్టింగ్ క్వశ్చన్స్ టు కృష్ణ ఇన్ ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ భగవద్గీత.
తెలివితేటలను ఉపయోగించుకున్నాడు.
హీ ఎగ్జాస్టెడ్ ఆల్ హిజ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
ఆ తెలివితేటలు ఎంతవరకు కొంతవరకే ఉన్నది సరుకే అది మాత్రం.
How long would your intelligence last? It can last only a
little. ఎంతకాలం నుంచి నువ్వు సంపాదించుకున్న ఆ సరుకు అంతా అయిపోయింది పాపం అర్జునుడికి.
He exhausted all the accumulated intelligence for a period of time.
ఇంకా ఏమాత్రం మాటలు కూడా లేవు.
He could not even utter a word.
చేతులు జోడించాడు.
He folded hands.
కరిష్యే వచనం తవా అన్నాడు. ఇంకా మీ ఆజ్ఞ ప్రకారం నేను చేస్తాను అన్నాడు.
He told, I will carry out your command, Lord. Give me your command.
అడో కమాండ్. మన్మనాభమద్దక్తో మజ్జాజీమాం నమస్కరే మామే వైశిష్టి సత్యం చే ప్రత్యానే ప్రయోజమే. ఇప్పుడు నీవు నా భక్తుడు, ఇంకా నీవు ముందుకు పో, నేను చూసుకుంటానన్నాడు.
నౌ దట్ యు హావ్ సెడ్ దట్ యు ఆర్ మై డివోటీ, ఐల్ టేక్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ యూ, యూ గో అహెడ్ ప్రొసీడ్ ఫర్దర్.
కనుక భగవంతుడికి అర్పితం చేసినప్పుడే ఇవన్నీ సులభంగా మనకు అన్ని అర్థమవుతాయి, సులభంగా అన్నింటినీ మనం సాధించవచ్చు.
ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూ డెడికేట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ టు గాడ్ అండ్ ఆఫర్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఎంటైర్.
కానీ ఈనాటి సాధకులు కానీ ఈనాటి భక్తులు కానీ అర్పితానికి పోవటం లేదు.
టుడే స్పిరిచువల్ ఆస్పిరెంట్స్ అండ్ డివోటీస్
షేర్ హోల్డర్ బిజినెస్ మాదిరి చేస్తున్నాం మనం. నాది అర్థం షేరు, నీదొక అర్థం షేరు, రెండింటిని చేసి మనం బిజినెస్ చేస్తాం అనుకుంటున్నారు.
యు ఆర్ డూయింగ్ business with God. One share is mine, another share is yours. We will carry on the business.
ఏం చేసే పని నేను చేస్తాను, నువ్వు ఇచ్చే అనుగ్రహం నువ్వు ఇచ్చి అని ఈ రకంగా వ్యాపారం కింద మొదలు పెడతారు.
I'll do my job. You give your grace.
Partnership చేసుకుంటున్నారు.
They are establishing a partnership with God.
ఈ బిజినెస్ తో ఏమాత్రం చెల్లదు.
You can never achieve success with this kind of business approach.
ఇక అర్పితము.
I have offered myself to you.
అన్ని తానే చూసుకుంటాడు.
He will take care of you in all its entirety.
అనేక మంది కొడైకెనాల్లో కూడా నువ్వు పిల్లలు కొంత చెప్పాను. స్వామి సన్నిధిలో ఉండినంత వరకు, స్వామి సంభాషణలు వినేంత వరకు, స్వామి వాతావరణంలో ఉండినంత వరకు పిల్లల యొక్క హృదయాలు చక్కగా, పవిత్రంగా, చాలా ఆనందంగా, ఒక విధమైనటువంటి ఉత్సాహంగా ఉంటుంటారు.
I told in Kodaikanal to the students that as long as they are with Swami, they are listening to Swami's words, they are enjoying Swami's love.
Kani kontha vatavaranam baitiki poyina tachadame idantha marpu chendutu untadi.
They are all right, but the moment they go out, there is a change.
Deeniki kaaranam emiti?
What is the reason for this change?
Dehamu mrunmayamainatundi dehamu.
The body is muddy and made of mud and it's perishes.
Ee mrunmayamainatundi oka chinna udaharanam.
One small example.
Matti makku untuntadi.
There is a mud.
Ee matti yokka makku lopala neeru full ga pevasi.
You have poured water.
Evvaru touch cheyakunda undreetundi oka pradeshamlo pettinappatiki.
If you keep in a place which cannot be accessible to anyone. Rendu
dinamu lopala moodinchala neellu absorb ayipothuntayi.
3 inches of water will get evaporated within 2 or 3 days.
ఆ యొక్క మట్టి పీల్చుకుంటుంది.
దిస్ మట్ అబ్జార్బ్స్ వాటర్.
కానీ ఆ మగ్గు నిండుకు నీళ్లు పోసి ఆ మగ్గును తిరిగి నీళ్లలో మూతి వరకు నీళ్లు ఉండేటువంటి దాంట్లో పెడితే లోపల ఉన్నటువంటి నీరు ఒక్క దిక్ అనుమాత్రమైన కూడా తగ్గదు.
బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ కీప్ దిస్ మగ్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ వాటర్ ఇన్ వాటర్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ది వాటర్ విల్ నెవర్ గెట్ ఈవాపరేటెడ్ ఈవెన్ బై ఎ డ్రాప్.
ఈనాటి ఏమైపోతుందంటే మన విద్యార్థులు ఒక మట్టి మగ్గు వంటి వాళ్ళు.
అవర్ స్టూడెంట్స్ మే బి కంపేర్డ్ టు మట్ మగ్స్.
దీంట్లో ఆధ్యాత్మికమైనటువంటి ఫుల్ గా నింపినప్పటికీ
యు మే ఫిల్ దెమ్ విత్ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ టు ది బ్రిమ్.
చుట్టూ ఆధ్యాత్మిక వాతావరణం లేనటువంటి ప్రదేశంలోకి పోయేటప్పటికీ ఇదంతా కూడా కొంతవరకు తగ్గిపోతుంటుంటారు.
వన్స్ దే గో టు ఎన్ ఎన్వైరన్మెంట్ వేర్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో స్పిరిచువాలిటీ, all the spirituality gets exhausted.
అక్కడికి పోయి కూడా మనం చుట్టూ వాతావరణాన్ని ఆధ్యాత్మికంగానే మనం కల్పించుకుంటే మనలో చేర్చుకున్నటువంటిది ఏమాత్రం కూడా తగ్గడానికి వీలుంటది.
ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ క్రియేట్ ఎ స్పిరిచువల్ అట్మాస్ఫియర్ అరౌండ్ యూ వేర్ ఎవర్ యూ గో, స్పిరిచువాలిటీ ఇన్ యూ.
కనుక ఇక్కడ సత్సంగము, అక్కడ దుస్సంగము.
హియర్ దేర్ ఇస్ గుడ్ కంపెనీ, దేర్ ఇస్ బ్యాడ్ కంపెనీ.
ఇక్కడ కూడా సత్సంగంలో మనం చేరడానికి పోవాలి.
యూ షుడ్ క్రియేట్ గుడ్ కంపెనీ ఈవెన్ దే.
ఆ సత్సంగములో చేరి సత్కర్మలు ఆచరించినప్పుడే మన యొక్క భక్తి ఏమాత్రం కూడా మారక, కదరక, చెదరక, కట్టుకనక ఉంటుంటాది.
వెన్ యూ గో టు ఎనీ ప్లేస్, ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ క్రియేట్ గుడ్ కంపెనీ అండ్ క్యారీ ఆన్ గుడ్ యాక్టివిటీ, యువర్ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ విల్ నెవర్ డిసపియర్.
And it's so beautiful to see how seamlessly Swami is transitioned into bhakti.
Right.
Till now it was about inquiry. Swami is talking about exploration and how you have to, the best way to inquire into how the creation is and how things are around you.
Mm-hmm.
And how to inquire into the divine principle too.
Right.
But so effortlessly in, you know, Swami is transitioned into the role of bhakti in all this.
Very true. In fact, the concept of being eligible or praying for God's grace, which is like a royal road for all achievement, that's such a beautiful point.
Right. And Swami starts by saying that, you know, the Vice Chancellor has asked such a complex question.
Yes.
How can divinity be visualized? The innate divinity, how can it be experienced and visualized? Swami says, you know, the question is very, very complex, but it can be answered in a trice. It's so simple. And Swami says the answer is, you know, you have to surrender to God.
Correct.
And you know, when Swami speaks about surrender, just the paragraph before this, you know, the clip which we played last time, it was all about effort. Swami said, you know, you can't seek pleasure and try to know it. You have to put your effort. You know, if you're sleeping, there is no point. Nobody can wake you up. You have to get up. And even the previous one, Swami said, you know, have the confidence. So many people have achieved it. You can achieve it. Don't give it up. You know, there was so much of emphasis on effort. And here Swami is saying that, you know, do the effort, put it, you know, give it the best push you can, but never place your confidence on the effort.
Correct.
You know, that in this entire part where Swami is saying that, you know, it's not like it cannot be achieved by the powers of your body, by your intellect, by your money and so on. Can never be won through this. It can only be won by, you know, do all this to the best of the thing and then surrender it to Him, and then it will be achieved.
Yeah, I mean, the power of surrender is so beautiful. We have, I think, spoken about it a couple of times in the show. When Swami says, true surrender is when you accept everything. This is for my good. But in another, I think, context, Swami had said that true surrender never takes into cognizance the presence or absence of sorrow, suffering and the like. May not take in cognizance the presence or absence. That's total acceptance. So you're really not, you know, worried or affected by what's happening to you. You know, it's all good for you.
I don't recollect exactly. It's just some few days back I had heard this in one of the talks where, you know, Swami was asked this question. That Swami, if there is suffering, so, you know, karma can never be, you know, overrun.
Okay.
Then how do we, you know, how does surrender help? Swami has said that surrender helps. And Swami explains that, you know, when you speak about these two things, you speak of suffering and surrender. Swami said they don't exist together.
Okay.
Swami said those who have surrendered never ever think that they are suffering.
They are suffering, that's true.
And you know, there's such a beautiful point Swami says that, you know, be it Mirabai, be it, you know, Tukaram or Tyagaraja, when they were in that mood of surrender, even Radha for that matter.
Yes.
You know, when they're in that mood of surrender, it's the people around them who thought that they were suffering. They were never suffering. Felt it was pain. Because if you're feeling the pain, you're not surrendered.
You're not surrendered.
I mean, we are thinking that the moment I feel the pain, let me start surrendering and, you know, get over the pain. It's not like that. I think it's such a spontaneous thing where there is surrender, there is the pain is never felt.
Very beautiful, very beautiful. And that beautiful shloka which Swami said, and the way Arjuna said, Karishe Vajnam Tava.
Come on.
Then Swami says, good, come on, now I'll teach you.
I think in many ways, you know, this is what happens to all of us.
Right.
You know, when you come to Swami, you kind of get an opportunity to empty all your, you know, incomplete philosophies at His feet. And as Swami says, you know, once you're empty, yeah, now you're ready to accept it.
Very true.
And then, of course, this point about, I mean, the way Swami beautifully from, as we said, from effort, Swami went on to giving up confidence in your own effort or surrendering your effort. And then Swami goes on to the role of devotion when you surrender to God.
Correct.
And now Swami is saying what is required. Now you've surrendered to God, now you're filled with such feelings. The importance of satsangam. You know, even in that situation, even when you've got the grace, to retain that grace, how good company is so essential. This beautiful analogy which Swami gives.
About the water in a...
Right, water in a mud pot.
Mud pot, right.
Right. Swami says that when you put water in a mud pot, due to evaporation and seeping, you know, some of that water is lost. But if you place that pot with water in another trough with water, then the water remains in the pot. So we say similarly, when you've collected all this, you know, good words and wisdom and knowledge and everything, when you go out, ensure that you are in good company so that this water is inside. It doesn't get lost.
Very true. In fact, before that point, Swami gives that beautiful point about a shareholder.
Right.
He says, you know, he says dedication to the Lord is the easiest way to fulfill your life. Means, you know, it's like we think that God is unfair as far as a business deal is concerned. But actually, he is a very poor businessman. To put it in that sense, he gives us much more than what we... He says, you take only one step. All he is asking is, you take one step, I am here to take 100 steps towards you. And so he says, dedication to the Lord is the easiest way to fulfill your life. It's not that you're getting anything less for what you're doing.
Right, and it's such a beautiful point which Swami is saying that, you know, when you talk about being shareholders,
mm-hmm.
I think all of us would have gone through that phase. Swami, I prayed to you.
Correct.
You know, I made the effort and I did it, but you did not respond.
Mm.
So it's typically that attitude, you know, mm. I mean, where you have a business partnership, you say that, okay, I'll be a working partner, you be an investing partner,
mm.
and then you feel that, you know, I've done my part, you've not done your part.
Right.
And Swami says it's got, you know, you can't deal with God like that. You know, you, even in that shloka from Bhagavad Gita, which Swami refers to, he says, no, once you surrender to me, finish me. You don't have to do anything. I'm going to be taking care of you all through.
Right.
Like what Krishna says, tells Arjuna.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, in that shloka also, there is a very beautiful, if you read the translation, it says, fix your mind on me, be devoted to me, sacrifice to me, bow to me. I promise that you shall come to me. That's the assurance. Know this truth, for you are dear to me.
Right.
And, you know, this word sacrifice is very beautiful because what do we have to sacrifice when we have surrendered to Him? What do we have to sacrifice? See, in a sense, sacrifice is the part which we have to do. Like surrender mm-hmm. comes at the as a fruition of your sacrifice. So, what is it that you have to sacrifice? And Swami has told it in many places. It's not the family or it's not all this that you have to sacrifice. What you have to sacrifice is the body consciousness. And the feeling that I am separate from God. He says that is what you have to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And he says sacrifice your selfishness, sacrifice your animal nature, and sacrifice the fruits of action. So what is it that you have to sacrifice in order to surrender completely to the Lord?
All right. And that whole process which Swami is mentioning, you know, you do the best you can.
Yes.
Don't ever, you know, yes, somebody said, you know, do your best and God will do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we are in a different mode now.
Mm.
Let me rest and let God do the best.
Let God do the best.
You know, Swami, I mean, I think that one thing, you know, many commentators, especially Western commentators, speak of that as a very beautiful point which Bhagavad Gita stresses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do with complete involvement.
Yes.
You know, there is no detachment when you're doing.
Okay.
The detachment comes only when there is expectation or when the results section starts coming.
Right.
There is no, I mean, because detachment in action becomes indifference.
Mm, very true.
But, I mean, how, if that one quality alone we can cultivate.
I think that one thing is enough, isn't
it? It's enough. If you're able to do without expectation.
If you are conscious of it in every action of yours, from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed, that itself is something.
Right. I mean, it's. I think it is a quality of oneness itself. You know, let's say that tomorrow suddenly your right hand gets paralyzed. We never think, I fed you all these years. How dare you, you know, fail me now?
Right.
I mean, that thought never comes.
Correct.
You know. Because we believe that it's part of the body. I mean, it's not your mistake.
Mm.
I mean, I never expected anything from you.
Mm.
I think when we are able to relate to God like that, I think that's really this stage of stepping into that oneness.
Very true.
Right. So I think we'll go to the last clip in that discourse.
Okay.
And maybe after that, if we have time, we'll quickly go through the rest of the discourse too.
Sure.
Kevalam notito mantrani cheppinanta matramu chaladu.
By merely chanting mantras, there is no use.
Bhagavantuni naamanni uccharinchinanta matramu chaladu.
By merely chanting the name of the Lord,
Bhagavad karmalu endukunu manam praveshinchali.
Participate in the actions associated with God.
Meeku anek pariyanu cheppanu.
I told you a number of times.
Hanuman Vibhishana friendship yetpachukunnadu.
Made friendship with Vibhishana.
Kani ఒక సంభాషణ లోపల విభీషణుడు చాలా బాధపడుతున్నాడు.
When they were carrying on some dialogue, విభీషణుడు expressed his
నీవెంత అదృష్టవంతుడు పోయి నిరంతరము రామసేవ యందు నీవు నిమగ్నమైపోతున్నావు, రామానుగ్రహం నీవు పొందుతున్నావు, నేను ఎంతకాలం నుంచి నువ్వు రామనామాన్ని స్మరిస్తున్నాను, కానీ రామ దర్శనం కూడా నాకు ప్రాప్తించడం లేదన్నాడు.
విభీషణ సెట్, హౌ ఫార్చునేట్ ఆర్ యూ హనుమాన్, యూ హ్యావ్ ది ఆపర్చునిటీ టు సర్వ్ లార్డ్ అండ్ యూ హ్యావ్ ది గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్. ఐ హావ్ బీన్ చాంటింగ్ హిస్ నేమ్ ఫార్ ఎ లాంగ్ టైమ్ బట్ ఐ డిడ్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ హ్యావ్ హిస్ దర్శన్.
చక్కని ప్రశ్న వేశాడు హనుమంతుడు.
హనుమాన్ పుట్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ క్వశ్చన్ బ్యాక్ టు
విభీషణ. రామనామాన్ని స్మరిస్తున్నావే మాత్రమే కానీ రామకార్యములు ఏమైనా పాల్గొంటున్నావా?
విభీషణ, యు ఆర్ మియర్లీ చాంటింగ్ ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ రామ బట్ ఆర్ యూ పార్టిసిపేటింగ్ ఇన్ రామాస్ వర్క్?
రామకార్యములో పాల్గొనకుండా పోయినప్పుడు రామానుగ్రహం నీకు ఎట్ట లభిస్తుంది?
వితౌట్ పార్టిసిపేటింగ్ ఇన్ రామాస్ వర్క్.
10 నెలలైపోయింది సీతాదేవి వచ్చి లంకలో ప్రవేశించి.
ఇట్ ఇస్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ 10 డేస్ సీతా హెస్ ఎంటర్డ్ లంక.
ఆ సీత సహాయం రామసేవ కాదా?
సర్వింగ్ సీత వుడ్ ఇట్ నాట్?
సీతకి ఏమైనా కొంతవరకు ఉపశాంతి ఏమైనా బోధించావా?
హ్యావ్ యూ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు కన్సోల్?
లేక సీతనైనా ఒకతోనైనా నీవు దర్శించావా?
హ్యావ్ యూ టేకన్ అట్లీస్ట్ లుక్?
ఆమె బాధను నివారించడానికి ఏమైనా కొన్ని ఉపాయములు చేశావా?
హ్యావ్ యూ మేడ్ ఎనీ ఎఫర్ట్స్ టు రిడ్యూస్ హర్?
ఇంకా నీకు రామాఫలం ఎట్టగలుగుతుంది?
హౌ కెన్ యూ ఎర్న్ గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ రామ?
కనుకనే నా జీవితం అంతా కూడా నువ్వు రామనామం అనేటువంటిది రోమ రోమం ఉండినప్పటికీ రామకార్యంలోనే నా జీవితం అంకితం చేశాను.
Every hair on my body repeats the name of Rama. In spite of that, I participate in Rama's work continuously.
Kalukune manu jeevasthi dil mein Ram aatme kaam. Ee rendinti yendu manu jeevitaani ankitam cheyali.
What we have to do is keep Ram in our heart and keep work in our hand, carry on.
Idi aanadu chesinatti maharshulu yokka sadhana.
This is what the maharshis achieved.
ఆనాటి పరిశోధనలు కూడా నువ్వు ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క పవిత్రమైన పరిశోధనలు చేస్తూ వచ్చావు.
ఈవెన్ ది రీసెర్చ్ వాస్ క్యారీడ్ ఆన్ దీస్ రైట్ లైన్స్ ఇన్ దోస్ ఏన్షియంట్ డేస్.
కనుక మానవుడు సామాన్యుడు కాదు.
మ్యాన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఎన్ ఆర్డినరీ బీయింగ్.
జంతువునాం నరజన్మ దుర్లభము. మానవ జన్మం చాలా దుర్లభమైనటువంటిది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ రేర్ టు గెట్ హ్యూమన్ బర్త్.
అలాంటి మానవత్వాన్ని మనం సార్థకం గావించుకోవాలనుకుంటే సాధ్యమైనంత వరకు దైవ చింతనలో మనము దైవాన్వేషణలో మనము ప్రవేశించాలి.
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు శాంక్టిఫై సచ్ ఎ సేక్రెడ్ వర్క్, యూ హావ్ టు రిపీట్ ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్ అండర్టేక్ హిస్ వర్క్.
విద్యార్థులారా,
యూ ఆర్ స్టూడెంట్స్,
ఈనాటి నుండి తిరిగి మరికొన్ని మార్పులు కూడా చేయాలని సంకల్పించుకున్నాను.
ఫ్రమ్ టుడే ఆన్వర్డ్స్ ఐ హావ్ డిసైడెడ్ టు మేక్ సమ్ చేంజెస్ ఆల్సో.
పిల్లలు అధికం కావటం చేత
ది నంబర్ ఆఫ్ స్టూడెంట్స్ హెస్ ఇంక్రీజ్.
తెల్లవారి స్నానాలు చేసి స్వామి దర్శనానికి రావాలనుకుంటే 2 గంటలకే పాపం పిల్లలు చేస్తున్నారు.
స్టూడెంట్స్ ఆర్ గెటింగ్ అప్ యాజ్ ఎర్లీ యాజ్ 2 o'clock టు హ్యావ్ బాత్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ లార్జ్ నంబర్.
2 గంటల నుంచి కూడా ప్రారంభమయ్యి 8 గంటలు అయ్యేటప్పటికి పిల్లల స్నానాలంతా పూర్తి అవుతుంటాయి.
వెన్ దే స్టార్ట్ దేర్ బాత్ బై 2 o'clock, దే హావ్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు ఫినిష్ ఓన్లీ బై 8 o'clock.
కనుక మధ్యాహ్నం యొక్క క్లాసెస్ అంతా కూడా నువ్వు చాలా డల్ గా ఉంటుంది పాపం.
దట్ ఈస్ వై ఆఫ్టర్నూన్ క్లాసెస్ విల్ బి డల్.
రేపటి నుంచి కూడా నువ్వు మధ్యాహ్నం క్లాసెస్ మానివేస్తావు.
ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ ఆఫ్టర్నూన్ టుమారో ఆఫ్టర్నూన్ ఆన్వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్టర్నూన్ క్లాసెస్ విల్ బి సస్పెండెడ్.
సాయంకాలము ఈ యొక్క సమావేశంలో ప్రవేశించేటప్పటికి మంచి ఫ్రెష్ గా ఉంటుంటుంది మైండ్.
వెన్ యూ ఎంటర్ ది అసెంబ్లీ ఇన్ ది ఈవినింగ్ యూల్ బి ఫ్రెష్.
కనుక రేపు తెల్లవారి మాత్రమే 3 క్లాసెస్ పెట్టుకుని 11:30 ముగించుకొని మధ్యాహ్నం చక్కగా విశ్రాంతి తీసుకోండి, విన్నటువంటి విషయాలు మననం చేయండి, తర్వాత 4 గంటల ఇక్కడికి వచ్చేటప్పటికి ఫ్రెష్ గా రావచ్చును. కానీ కొంతమంది పిల్లలంతా కూడాను ఇప్పుడు ఫ్రెష్ గా లేదు. ఎంత స్వామి మంచి విషయాలు చెప్తుందే కానీ మధ్య మధ్య ఇలాంటి పరిస్థితులు ఎంత విలువైనటువంటి అందించినప్పటికీ అది ప్రయోజనం ఉండదు.
టుమారో ఆన్వర్డ్స్ దేర్ బి క్లాసెస్ ఓన్లీ టిల్ 11:30.
వైస్ ఛాన్సలర్ ఈ కార్యక్రమాల్లో కొంచెం మార్పు చేసి రేపటి దినము 2 క్లాసులు తెల్లవారి మాత్రం 3 క్లాసులు పెట్టుకుని మధ్యాహ్నం 11:30 నుంచి కూడా ఫ్రీగా పిల్లల్ని ఇచ్చి పెట్టాలి.
లెట్ వైస్ ఛాన్సలర్ మేక్ ది నెసరీ చేంజెస్ ఇన్ ది ప్రోగ్రామ్ అండ్ హ్యావ్ క్లాసెస్ 2 or 3. But finish that.
అయితే ఆ కాలాన్ని మీరు వ్యక్తం చేయకూడదు.
బట్ యూ షుడ్ నాట్ వేస్ట్ ది రిమైనింగ్.
తెల్లవారి విన్నటువంటి విషయాలు చక్కగా రాసుకుని నోట్స్ మీరు చదువుకోవటము లేకపోతే కొంత విశ్రమించుకోవటం ఇవి రెండు చేసుకోవాలి. కానీ అనవసరమైన మాటలకు మాత్రం చోటు ఇవ్వకూడదు.
యూ షుడ్ యూజ్ ద టైమ్ ఇన్ రూమినేటింగ్ అండ్ రిఫ్లెక్టింగ్ అండ్ వాట్ యూ హర్డ్ ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్ ఆర్ టేకింగ్ రెస్ట్. షుడ్ నాట్
దైవత్వాన్ని ఏ రీతిగా చేరగలడు అనేటువంటి విషయాన్ని రేపటి నుంచి కూడా మీ వైస్ ఛాన్సలర్ ఇష్ట ప్రకారం నేను ప్రారంభిస్తాను.
ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు స్టార్ట్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ది ప్రేయర్స్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ వైస్ ఛాన్సలర్ హౌ టు అటైన్ గాడ్.
ఇది చాలా అవసరం.
ఇట్ ఇస్ వెరీ నెసెసరీ.
మానవుడై పుట్టినందుకు ఈ మాధవత్వాన్ని గుర్తించుకోవటం చాలా ప్రధానమైనటువంటి యొక్క సమస్య.
ఆఫ్టర్ బీయింగ్ బోర్న్ యాజ్ అ మ్యాన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ హిస్ డ్యూటీ టు రియలైజ్ డివినిటీ.
ఎక్కడెక్కడ ఏ దేశంలో జరుగుతున్నటువంటి వార్తలంతా మనం వింటున్నాం.
వీఆర్ హియరింగ్ ది ఈవెంట్స్ టేకింగ్ ప్లేస్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ న్యూస్ ఫ్రమ్ వేరియస్ ప్లేసెస్.
కానీ తన ఎందు వచ్చేటువంటి వార్తను మనము తను తాను గుర్తించుకోవటలేకపోతున్నాడు.
బట్ వీఆర్ నాట్ కేరింగ్ టు టేక్ నోట్ ఆఫ్ ద న్యూస్ విత్ ఇన్.
కనుక బయట నుంచి వచ్చేటువంటి న్యూస్ కంటే మన వచ్చేటువంటి న్యూసెన్స్ చాలా అధికంగా ఉంటుంటాది.
ద న్యూసెన్స్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ విత్ ఇన్ అస్ ఈజ్ మచ్ మోర్ దాన్ ద న్యూస్ దట్ ఈస్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్.
ఆ న్యూస్ ను మనం దూరం చేస్తే ఈ న్యూసెన్స్ అంత దూరం అయిపోతుంది.
యు గివ్ అప్ ది న్యూస్ ఆఫ్ ది వరల్డ్ యువర్ ఇన్నర్ న్యూ సెన్స్ విల్ ఆల్సో డిసపియర్.
దాని యొక్క పవిత్రమైనటువంటి యొక్క దైవత్వాన్ని మనం నింపుకోవచ్చు.
ఫిల్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ విత్ డివినిటీ.
కనుక రేపటి నుంచి మీరంతా చక్కగా ఫ్రెష్ మంచి హృదయములై నిర్మలమైనటువంటి హృదయంతో ఈ ప్రవేశంలో ఈ యొక్క సమావేశంలో మీరు పాల్గొన్నప్పుడు చాలా విలువైనటువంటి విషయాలంతా మీరు అందుకోవాల్సి వస్తుంది. హృదయాన్ని చక్కగా ఆ పాత్రను మీరు పరిశుద్ధంగా ఉంచుకుంటండి.
From tomorrow onwards, in the evening function, you come fresh, keep your hearts pure, most sacred and very important things will be told and you will have to preserve them.
ఏ శాస్త్రమునందు కాని, ఏ ఉపనిషత్తు యందు కాని, ఏ వేదమునందు కాని లేనటువంటివి కాదు. అన్ని వేదము యొక్క స్వరూపాలే.
Whatever is being told is found in Vedas.
అయితే దాని విపులంగా చేసి వివరించేటువంటి వ్యక్తులు లేకపోవడం చేతనే అది మీకు అర్థం కాకపోతున్నాయి.
బట్ దేర్ ఆర్ నో పీపుల్ హూ కెన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దెమ్ ప్రాపర్లీ ఇన్ సింపుల్ వే. దేర్ ఫోర్ యూఆర్ ఫైండింగ్ ఆల్
సులభంగా మీ స్థాయికి తగినట్టుగా అనుకూలవంతంగా ఆదర్శంగా ఒక సాధనకు అనుకూలమైన రీతిగా నేను తప్పక చెప్పి మీ హృదయాలను చక్కగా పవిత్రంగా ఉంచాలని నేను సంకల్పించుకుంటున్నాను. రేపటి నుంచి మాత్రము మధ్యాహ్నం క్లాసెస్ ఉండవు.
I will simplify all those great truths and make them easily understandable by you and present them in such a way that you will enjoy them. From tomorrow onwards, there will be no afternoon classes.
That, dear listeners, was advertisement for the next episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, because Swami is so beautifully saying that these are all complex things. But I shall explain it to you in a manner which is, you know, in your level of understanding, in with lucidity and in a manner that it's palatable to you.
So sweet and so beautiful. I mean, so, Swami, I mean, you feel like asking Swami, what more will you do for us? And, you know, this, the way Swami started off this clip is also very beautiful. Of course, this theme Swami has mentioned earlier also. But in this context, It really is very beautiful, because looking at this discourse, Swami started off with how people were looking at nature and then trying to know and trying to understand God. But then he slowly shifted to what we must do actually.
Right.
And what we should actually do, what is our effort, what we should do. I mean, yes, you know that God is there, you know that God has done all this. Then what is it that we should do? Then the culmination of what we should do is, as Swami said, Dil mein Ram, haath mein kaam.
Right. So when you look at it, I mean, this part when Swami was speaking, I was reminded of that, I think it's a very famous little story, they say.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this man who is walking past the road and he sees this young girl, probably 5-year-old or something, and she's in the cold, she's hungry, and he's so disturbed seeing that sight. You know, he goes back home and he says, God, why is it like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why nobody is taking care of the child? Why have you not done anything for her? You know, why have you let the child in the cold and hungry like that? Mm-hmm. You've not done anything for her. So, you know, he has a dream in which God comes and tells, but I have done.
Mm-hmm.
So then he says, no, but I saw her alone. And then God tells him, I have created you.
I created you. That's right.
Perfect. You know, when you look at that story in this part where Swami is saying, you know, how many times in a day we say that, Swami, why have you not done this? You know, why have you not, why people are suffering like this? Why people? See, if we consider that as God's work, Swami is saying that you going and doing that is actually participating in God's work.
God's work.
You don't have to wait till somebody like, you know, an avatar like Rama comes and builds a bridge so you can be a part of it.
Correct.
In each of this, what we think is God's work, because if you look at it, you know, when you talk about sages, you talk about their contribution as explorers in the initial years. One of the qualities of those sages was, you know, service to society.
Correct.
All of them will be in the field of education, in the field of medicine. You know, when Swami spoke about Ayurveda. Because all of them were actually dispensing medicine for free, I'm sure.
Correct.
You know, they were doing that service to society and there was no distinction between humans and animals. They would go and protect everybody.
Correct.
And that quality of that class itself, you know, it is said that once you become a sannyasi or if you're a Brahmin in the true sense, you don't hoard. You know, whatever you collect, you finish it for that day or you distribute it.
Correct.
So that automatically makes you a person who cannot save. So, I mean, you're not dependent on the society to, you know, keep some kind of cash of, you know, wealth. So all of this, Swami is saying that, you know, it started off with exploration, how you have to explore, then speaks about humility, then he speaks about, you know, the attitude of surrender.
Correct.
And now Swami is saying that you have to do God's work.
You have to do His work.
And this is what is God's work in a sense or the way.
Yeah, you know, and he says, this was the sadhana that the sages took up. Their investigations were of pure intent also. I mean, the intent, the motivation with which you do an action is as important as doing it. I mean, the intention with which you do it. So that attitude of humility and that attitude of surrender, when they do the work, he said, success begets success. It's bound to get success. In fact, he was saying, once you earn God's grace, that anugraha, which is a part of, you know, which is a divine attribute, is a part of the 16 attributes of the divine.
Right.
That anugraha, if you earn, he says, automatically things will come to you.
Right. And of course, then comes this very, very sweet part where Swami is probably, you know, quite understandable. If I was in the audience, I can imagine what Swami described. You know, I mean, really now looking back, you know, how many such priceless discourses we missed.
Right.
And I don't know how many of those discourses were missed sitting there and looking at Swami and saying, oh, Swami, you're looking so beautiful.
That's also true.
Right, even that is also there. But I think all of it adds up. The very fact that we are sitting here and looking at these discourses is the, you know, love that Swami instilled in all of us in those years. But you can really relate to this when Swami is saying the 2 a.m., 8 a.m., you know, because I remember when we had the summer course, I think you also would have been a student in 2000 when we had a summer course.
Right.
Because suddenly the hostel's capacity gets doubled, a little more than doubled.
Correct.
So then if you're used to getting up at 5 and having bath, you'll have to start getting up at 2 and 3.
Yes.
And they would have batches. You'll go finish your bath, come back and sleep.
Sleep again.
And somebody will come and wake you up for breakfast. And you know, so thoughtful of Swami to say that, you know, this is there, so let's not have classes in the afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, the purpose of not having classes in the afternoon is very beautifully brought out in that one statement.
Right.
Where he says, priceless advice is thus wasted on inattentive ears.
Right.
I mean, what is sleep compared to what you're actually missing?
Right, right.
Because of a small thing like sleep, you're missing such precious advice.
Right.
It's just going off.
Probably Swami would have thought those 3 afternoon classes where some scholar comes and speaks to you and you lose your sleep, you might as well sleep and come and listen to me.
To me. That's true. But, you know, going further, you know how Swami says, the most compelling goal of man is to reach divinity. And here is Swami himself, who is ready to take the essence of all the Shastras, all the Vedas, and then give it to you in such a simple and lucid way, so that you can achieve that purpose of life.
Right. And, you know, then Swami says, we often say this, you know, the youngsters are not focused these days, they are very frivolous in their attitude and all that. Swami says that the problem is there is nobody who can give these beautiful messages in a manner they can relate to, in the manner they can understand to. And more than anything else, I think the need to listen to some of these messages from a person of worth.
Mm.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who can intellectualize this kind of concepts and speak it out. But when Swami stands there and speaks, you cannot deny that here is a person who has the authority to speak that, because he lives each one of these things which he
exactly.
Speaks about.
Comes back to that, my life is my message.
Right.
And how Swami lives each of these, going back, a few of these topics like humility, few of these topics, here is somebody who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, and then he comes down. Isn't this also, an attribute of humility, where he's ready to come down to our level and then lift us up?
Right.
And he's not sitting on a high chair and saying, you people rise up to my level. With so much of love, he comes down. In all this discourse is really phenomenal, as we said. And, he started off with this beautiful Padyam, where he says the Creator shines within the universe and the universe is reflected in the Creator. God and creation are eternally bound as friends. The words of Sai convey the truth. And this poem, as I'm just reading it, realize that it summarizes the entire discourse.
Right.
And the attitude with which you should look on the Lord, Sakyam Atmanivedanam, friendship. So that divine friendship, God is your only true friend, when Swami says, Sakyam Atmanivedanam, surrender. And when you surrender, then that's all you need to do.
Right. As you're saying, positioning this poem with relation to what Swami said about partnership and shareholders. In friendship, there's nothing like that.
Mm.
The friendship, you don't expect return favors when you
Correct.
Do for your friends. Swami is almost saying, creation and God are like friends.
Mm.
The moment you understand this relationship itself,
yes.
I think it's
it's very beautiful. I think we should just quickly go through the points that Swami brought out in this entire discourse.
Right.
He started with saying that the five elements are all pervasive and they are there. But when you come to human being, when you come to man, he says the first thing that assails a human birth is hunger. So he says the first thing that you need after you're born is food. You need, and he says no matter how many machines or computers you have invented, they cannot give you food
right.
and water.
Right. And Swami says that that's how the exploration begins.
Right.
What are those things which man is completely dependent on nature for?
Correct.
And as you said, water, food and fire, those were the elements which he did not understand in the beginning. And all of this study was happening within the sphere he knew.
Right.
Swami says, the whole world became his laboratory in that sense.
Correct.
Trying to explore around, feel around. And initially started by believing that this is all is the world.
Right.
There was no idea of something beyond this.
And then he evolved to, agriculture, and beyond agriculture, obviously, the Pratyaksha Devam, that's the sun god. So when he looked up at sun and he worshipped the sun and realized that, yes, he's a visible god for us every day.
Right.
And then this beautiful topic of numbers. Swami says God, man looked at God and realized that God was one who became many.
Right.
So through that he said, you may take any big number, but it's all addition of 1, 1, 1, 1, and that one is God.
Right. And of course, after that Swami goes on to explain man's slow understanding and expansion of that understanding about God.
Right.
And how along that journey, he starts giving names to God.
Yes.
And as we mentioned earlier, we drew that point where Swami is till now not started speaking about the form aspect at all.
Exactly.
It is only about that in that concept of God. And Swami starts giving the different names of, Aditya, Vishnu.
Right.
Because it is believed that he is at all places at all times.
All
so that inspires the name Vishnu.
Mm.
And then there is this feeling that he is not limited, he is not perishable.
Yes.
So that name Hiranyagarbha is given. Then Ishvara.
Yes.
Because he is, inexhaustible.
Right.
So he is given the name Ishvara. then he is beyond the gunas, so given the name Shiva.
Shiva.
Then he is he can manifest himself in any form whenever he decides. So he is given Sambhava is the given. And then
Isha.
Right.
Because he is the embodiment of all the
six kinds of prosperity.
Six types of prosperity, that's right.
And then Swami says, then finally man starts becoming wise and he starts giving the name Aprameya, that he is beyond my understanding.
He is beyond my understanding. I mean, right. That's the last name that Swami brings out. And he says, yes, he says Aprameya is what man reaches, but he says then what has to be done? He says, at the peak of human intellect, you have to start understanding that man is actually divine. And that's where Swami goes on to say that he realized, the sages actually realized that we all are sparks of the same divine power.
Right.
And they say, we have experienced him. We have gone, we have inquired, we have discovered, we have experienced him. Uttishtata, Jagrata, they speak to the entire...
Because at this point, after saying Aprameya, that he cannot be understood.
Right.
Swami says that, you know, yes, he cannot be understood by human intelligence.
Right.
But you understand that you are not limited by human intelligence.
Exactly.
You know, that was proven by these sages, because there are these humans who, you know, were born as humans, lived as humans, but they pushed their limits and they, you know, came to that understanding which is beyond the human intellect. Giving us the idea that you can go beyond the human intellect itself.
No, that's a very beautiful point, because when Swami says this is the peak of human intellect, it is really the peak of human intellect, because you have to go beyond the intellect. That is where intellect ends. Probably that's where the experiential part takes over. And the sages say, yes, there is something beyond.
Right.
There is something beyond what you think you can comprehend, and that is God. And then he says, Shraddha.
Right, and that part actually, Swami, you know, the flow of that part is, Swami says that, first of all, believe that it can be done.
Right.
Don't give up hope.
Yes.
Then do it now. You know, don't wait till a later date. Get up and do it now.
Correct.
And Swami gives that what can be done, what should be done to achieve that. Swami says, give up tamas.
Tamas.
You know, that give up tamas can be summarized in the idea that go beyond your animal nature.
Right.
Swami says, give up tamas. Then let go of rajas. Because... you know, when you can manipulate the things around you, when you have the intelligence to extract comforts from the elements around you,
yes,
you kind of get into that rut. Now you start, desires start increasing and you start becoming more bound to your desires. Swami says, so get beyond that stage also, that is beyond rajas. And then use sattva as a tool. And through humility, shraddha and devotion, you can achieve it.
Very beautiful. And then...
of course, Swami doesn't say you can achieve it. Swami says then God reveals himself to you.
Yes, God reveals him. Then he asks this fundamental question, where is God?
Right.
And this beautiful shloka of Brahmarpanam and Aham Vaishvana Robotva, he says God is within us. That you should not doubt. So he says, do not doubt. God is within you. That the fact that God is within you, do not doubt. And he says... this sentence is also very beautiful. He says, okay, when would you actually know that you have realized? So the day you have no difference between I, you and he, as Swami says it.
In fact, Swami speaks about scientific understanding here. You know, Swami says, the scientists say that there is nothing like day and night.
Right.
You know, because the sun never rises or sun, it's the earth which rotates. And Swami says, but still you live your life according to that day and night.
You say good morning.
Right, good morning. You say, Swami says, it is right, it is not wrong. So you acknowledge that. You say that till the difference goes, you are bound by the differences which are seen.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
So, he says, having known that this is not the ultimate, you have to live in it.
Right.
You have to live in it.
As long as we are subservient to nature, living a worldly life, we must obey its laws and live by its standards.
That's true. Then again, he says, yes, you know that there are limitations, but there are things which are really beyond your control. And the sages were humble enough and they accepted that it's God's will that determines birth and death, for example.
Right.
He says it's absolutely not in anybody's hand. And that, in a simple example, Swami says, do you control your heartbeat?
You
do you control your
breathing,
breath?
Right.
You can't.
Right. And then Swami says that, you know, how keen they were in understanding the human body.
Mm-hmm.
There's that part where Swami says how they realized that life was not in the breath, life was not in the heartbeat, life was not in the head or anything,
yes,
but in that lightning flash, right? And Swami quotes that Narayan Suktam verse where he says that he lives as that streak of light.
Neelato yadamadhyastha vidyule keva bhaskara.
Right. Swami says, you know, the spinal cord, one particular position, Swami says.
Yes.
And then Swami goes on to say, how did they understand this? And, you know, these are these people who have, without any instruments.
Correct.
You know, Swami, the later part speaks about doctors.
Mm.
He say you have all your instruments to tell you, you know, if you want to find out somebody's health, you have 10 instruments to find out.
Yeah.
Then you travel all around the world, attend all kinds of conferences. And then Swami says, at the cost of so many lives.
Right.
So he said, at the cost of so many lives, you learn your, you know, incomplete medicine.
But it's really striking, isn't it?
Right.
And he says, the sages did not spend a single penny.
And then they had no instruments, they had no, you know, yantras.
It is just the attitude and that surrender and worship. And with God's grace, they could.
Right.
And he says, Ayurveda, he says, is that beautiful branch of medicine which our sages discovered. But then we want quick results.
Right.
We want quick results. And he said, the antibiotics, you get quick results and it relapses as well, as quickly as it's gone.
Right.
And it all comes down to purity at the end of this. He says, the approach, the attitude of purity, when your pursuit is pure, then you are eligible for,
right,
God's grace.
I think, and this is a thing, you know, very seamlessly it again goes on to this next part where Swami says that be prepared to work hard, be prepared to,
exactly,
you know, take on some difficulties.
Right.
You know, that understanding, many times even in our own life we'll see, you know, there's a situation comes, we spend all the time in trying to get out of the situation rather than understanding, you know, what is the situation trying to teach us about,
right,
our nature, about our understanding.
Very,
you know, anywhere, even in our jobs, we have a problem, we get into a situation. We're all the time thinking that, you know, I'm in trouble, let me get out of this, let me leave this job, you know, let me go to a different team or whatever it is. But we're not realizing what is that inherent problem which has put us in that situation.
Correct.
So Swami is saying that, you know, from Ayurveda, the way Swami goes on to this topic of, you know, be ready to take on troubles.
Mm.
One who is always desirous of peace does not get anywhere.
Correct.
You know, all these people have, Ayurveda is all about that.
Mm.
You know, don't go for quick fix solutions.
Correct.
Be ready to go, you know, take the longer route, understand what is the real problem and then solve it.
Yes. Then again, of course, Swami comes to the attitude with which you go about doing this is one with a lot of humility,
right,
and surrender. That's how Swami comes to the end of this discourse.
And then, of course, the part which we spoke about today, how, as we said, seamlessly Swami transitions into bhakti.
Humility, bhakti.
Right. From humility, bhakti. Bhakti to surrender.
Sacrifice.
Surrender to, you know, doing God's work.
Right.
It is not giving up action. Surrender never means inaction. Mm. Surrender means, you know, becoming a part of God's work. Swami says, giving the example of Hanuman and Vibhishana.
Yes.
Right. And then, of course, the beautiful part of Swami saying that this is all important. Of course, this was said 93, that's 23 years ago, right?
Yeah.
23 years ago. But even today, when we listen to those words, Swami saying these are important things, you know, keep your minds fresh, listen to this. And what, and even as we were discussing today, Sarvakash, I was wondering, the one word we have used the maximum number of times for this discourse is beautiful.
That's true.
For every clip you have said, this part is beautiful, that part is beautiful, and really indeed this is such a, you know, beautiful discourse.
You know, just to give it a topping, Professor Venkat Raman, who is a scientist and who has written this book, Conversations Between God and Man, and Krishna, he summarizes what Krishna says, and in this context it's also apt, you know, what should we do when we ask the question, what are we to do? So he says, here is a 3-point formula.
Okay.
Okay, 3-point formula, like a scientist can actually say. He says, always think of me. Point one. First point is, always think of me. Whatever work you do, whatever work you are doing, whatever it may be, think it is my work. Think it is my work. And third point is, dedicate it, lovingly dedicate it to me. So that's the secret of action. The secret of action is always think of me and think that every work that you're doing is my work and dedicate that work to me without expecting the results.
Right. And how much more easy it is given that we know Swami, and you know how much more easy it is when you've lived with an avatar, when you're living with the consciousness of, you know, the Lord overlooking your life.
Very true.
Really. And with that thought, dear listeners, we'll bring this program to a close. Of course, before we conclude, we're going to play that bhajan which Swami sang at the end of that discourse, because this completes the second discourse in that series. We'll join you again, as Swami said. You know, I'm going to make it even more beautiful, even more lucid. Very important truths are going to be revealed in a very lucid way. That's what Swami said in the end of that discourse. So do join us next week, same time, for the next episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. We most humbly offer this effort of ours at Swami's lotus feet. Thank you for being with us. Jai Sai Ram.
Govinda Krishna Jai, Gopala Krishna Jai, Gopala Bala Bala Radha Krishna Jai. Krishna Jai, Krishna Jai, Krishna Jai, Krishna 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 Jai. Come on up.
హరి ప్యారి భాగి వీర మనవి గారి మదన మోహన మురళి గారి కృష్ణ జై కృష్ణ జై కృష్ణ జై కృష్ణ జై కృష్ణ జై కృష్ణ 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 జై.